Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we turn to your word now, pray that you will give us unstopped ears, Lord, that we hear what you have to say to us, that you will open our hearts to receive what you have for us. And Lord, I pray that my voice won't be heard, but yours will. And I pray this, Lord, in your mighty name. Amen. We're turning again to Hebrews 12, verses 1 and 2. Now, Paul, in Scripture, loved to use Olympic analogies for the Christian life. He used a boxing analogy when he was writing to his friend Timothy. He said, "I've fought the good fight." And he also used running analogies, like, "I've finished the race, I've kept the faith." And here in Hebrews 12, verse 1, the writer uses a similar setting. The setting is a racetrack in a stadium. And it says, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith." And this morning, I briefly want to bring out three truths from this verse, these verses, about running our race of faith. Firstly, we're going to look at encouragement from the great cloud of witnesses. Then we're going to look at entanglement from the weights and the sins. And then we're going to finally look at endurance as we run this race to the finish line. Encouragement, entanglement, and endurance. So first, encouragement. Now, the writer begins with "therefore." So, as you all know, when you see a "therefore," you need to look back. What is it there for? Okay? And the word points us back to Hebrews chapter 11, the hall of faith that we looked at during this our last term together before we broke for the summer. Our series was called Faith in Action, and we looked at various characters from Hebrews 11. Now, the writer lists 18 individuals by name and others collectively in that chapter, and we looked at some of those in this last series. Now, who can remember who we looked at? There were five of them. That's the hint. Who did we look at? Abraham, Jacob, Moses, Rahab. Where's Andrew? He should know one. Elijah. And the last one was David. Just a small sample. But these witnesses and so many others that have gone before us in the faith, their lives are like a giant advertising hoarding to us. Hoardings that testify that God is faithful and that you can trust in God. God is faithful and you can trust him. But it's not just these Old Testament characters. There are also many thousands, even millions of others who've gone before us, including Peter, James and John, Paul the Apostle, Timothy, Martin Luther, Charles Spurgeon, Eric Liddell, Amy Carmichael, Mother Teresa, Billy Graham. The list goes on and on and on. For me personally, there's also my old BB captain, my Bible class leaders, my first pastor, my mum, and Nigel, my brother. All these witnesses are there lining the way, surrounding us, encouraging us, to move on. They are all examples of enduring faith because they've gone before us and they've completed the race. Romans 15 verse 4 reminds us, "For whatever was written in former days was written for our instruction, that through endurance and through the encouragement of the Scriptures, we might have hope." Paul is saying here that what is written in the Scriptures, these examples of of men and women of faith in Scripture, and the writer to the Hebrews is saying the same thing. Their faith life stories are for our instruction. They're for our encouragement and inspiration as Christians. They've all run the race before us. Think of a relay race. The runner before you finishes strong and passes you the baton. Abraham passed faith to Isaac. Moses passed faith to Joshua. Paul passed faith to Timothy. And now the baton's in your hand. Don't drop it. Keep running. The great cloud of witnesses are cheering you on. Their testimony tells us that if they could endure, so can I. So can we. We're encouraged by those who've gone before us. Secondly, there's entanglement. Verse 1 continues, "Let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely." Or as the NIV puts it, "Let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles us." Athletes are careful not to carry any extra weight. Like I was trying to explain to the children, you know, they train really hard to get weight off. They're careful about what they eat. They're careful about how much they exercise, how much they train, because they want to be lean, mean running machines. That's their aim. And it should be the same for us in the race of faith as we become more Christ-like. We're to lay aside every weight. Now, weights are not always sinful, but they do slow us down. The weight I'm thinking of could be something like a distraction, an unhealthy habit, maybe a toxic relationship, or a fear of people's opinions of us. The weight can even be a good thing. It could be your mobile phone, which in itself is a good thing, but it can become a weight. It can take the place of God's part, God, take the place of God in your heart. Weights slow us down and make us use more effort, more energy, But it's not only the weights that slow us down, it's the sin as well. As Paul writes in Colossians 3, verses 8 to 10, "But now you must rid yourselves of all such things as these: anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. Put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator." The sinful choices that we make, lying, cheating, unkindness, doubt, pride, selfishness, all these things and more, they entangle us, they hinder us, they slow us down. Sin wraps its tentacles around our feet, slowing our steps and pulling us off the narrow path. What first feels like a harmless brush with sin can very, very soon tighten its grip around us. Tighten its grip, and it will not let us go. Each choice we make to yield to the sin gives it even more strength, until running in freedom is virtually impossible. Like weeds choking a garden or chains binding a prisoner, sin entangles the soul, whispering lies of comfort while dragging us deeper and deeper into despair. It's only Christ that can cut through its coils, its tentacles. Only Christ can set us free by placing our feet on solid ground, enabling us to run in freedom. You can't run anywhere if you're chained down. I wonder this morning, are you trying to run this race with backpacks full of burdens, sins, and distractions. Today, God is saying to you, get rid of the entanglement. Lay it down, discard it, travel light, run free. Encouragement, entanglement, and thirdly, endurance. The text says, let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. Someone once said, endurance is like a postage stamp. It sticks to one thing until it gets there. The story is told of Thomas Edison, the inventor of the electric light bulb. It is said that he tried 200 different substances to find the right one to make a filament for his light bulb. He tried 200 different things and he failed 200 times. And finally, his assistant said to him, Thomas, I think you should quit. I don't think this is going to work. I know what you've got in mind, but I think it's impossible. Edison's response was, quit? I've just discovered 200 things that won't work, and I will find the one that does. And he did. He discovered that by using a carbonized bamboo filament for his commercially successful light bulb, it gave it a lifespan of up to 1,200 hours. He cracked it. And this was the standard in light bulbs for a decade before tungsten filaments were introduced. The only way Edison achieved this was by endurance. He kept at it, despite the many failures. We've been picturing this morning the Christian life as a race, and that's what it is. But let's be clear about this. It's not a jog. It's not a sprint race. It's not a 100-meter dash. The Christian life is a marathon that requires endurance, stickability, persistence. A marathon isn't won in the first mile. And likewise, following Jesus is a lifelong experience. It's not about quick bursts of excitement, but it's about enduring through the trials, the doubts when they come, through the struggles. There will be challenges and obstacles along the way. Just like in a marathon, runners face fatigue, pain, and the temptation to quit. And similarly, as followers of Jesus, we will face hardships, temptations, and seasons of discouragement. The key is to keep moving forward in faith. If you want to run a marathon, training and discipline matter. You can't just turn up on the day expecting to get to the finish line. Runners prepare through consistent training over many months, even years. In the same way, Christians train and grow through prayer, studying the scriptures, worship, discipleship, and practicing obedience to God. These spiritual disciplines strengthen our endurance. Marathon runners also keep their eyes on the goal for mile after mile. Their one thought is that finish line. And that's true for us as followers of Jesus. The ultimate finish line is eternal life with Christ. Hebrews, verse 2 of Hebrews 12 says, we fix our eyes on Jesus, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. Or as the New King James Version puts it, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. As we run this marathon, this faith marathon, we are to fix our eyes on Jesus. Jesus is the author or founder of our faith. That's how we're saved in the first place. We look to him. He's there at the start of our race. He's the author of our faith, and he'll be there at the finish when we cross that line and when we enter into his eternal kingdom that he's promised us. But you know what? He's also with us at every step that we take on the race, in the race. He doesn't set us going and then skip to the finish line, leaving us to fend for ourselves. No, he's there beside us every single step of the way. We run by looking in the right direction, straight at Jesus. If you look down at your feet when you're running, you're going to stumble and you're going to fall. I remember when I was learning to ride a bike at the age of 10. Yes, I was a late starter. As I rode down the road, I was getting the hang of it. I was doing really well. But then I looked down at my feet that were on the pedals, and bang, I went straight into the side of a car, a parked car. I was okay. The bike was okay. The car was okay. So no damage done, thank goodness. But I learned an important lesson that day. You need to look ahead at where you're going. Don't look down at your feet. Fix your eyes ahead. Fix your eyes on Jesus. If you look across at the other runners that are running with you, excuse me. If you look across at the other runners that are running with you, or you look at the crowds around you, lining the route, if your gaze is fixed on any one of those things, you'll probably wander from the pathway and get hurt. If you're driving the car, you must keep looking ahead, not at the scenery. Keep telling Ruth this. Look at that, she says. No, I'm looking at the road. Because if you look at the scenery, you will be part of the scenery. About 20 years ago, I took my eyes off the finish line. My attention was drawn by what was around me. And I ended up in the desert, far from God. But a godly vicar took me under his wing, and bit by bit, he drew my attention back to Jesus, and back to that finish line. Are you looking at your feet, preoccupied with yourself? Are you looking into the grandstands, concerned at what others may think of you? Or perhaps you're looking across at the other runners. I'm faster than he is, but she's faster than I am. They've got a better stride than me. They're wearing a nicer outfit than I've got. Now, the only way to run the race of enduring faith is to look only to Jesus, not at other people. In the four Gospels, Jesus demonstrates to us how to run and endure in our lives of faith. The Gospels show us how Jesus made choices, how he faced temptation and won, how he overcame challenges and difficulties, how he endured antagonism, hatred, opposition and hostility. Jesus is the author and finisher of our faith. He was there at the start, he's been through it himself, and he's be there at the finish, and he's with us every step of the way. As we run, we receive encouragement from those who've gone before us and by those around us. We are to beware of any entanglement with the cares of the world and sin. And we're to run with endurance, keeping our eyes firmly fixed on Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. But as we finish, let me ask you the question. How are you running? How are you running? Are you running well at the moment, or are you struggling? Maybe you're feeling tired. Maybe the fog of life has rolled in and you can't see clearly what's ahead of you. Perhaps you've been running this race of faith and your legs feel heavy, or perhaps you're being battered by the storms of life or the heat of the day. Your soul feels weary and you're tempted to sit down and give up. My friend, don't quit. Look to Jesus. Be encouraged by the great cloud of witnesses. Be encouraged by your companion runners, because we're in this race together. All of us are in this together. When you watch a marathon, the professional runners shoot off into the distance. This is a race they are determined to win. They want to be the first one over the line. But the amateur runners, they set off together, and the majority tend to support one another, encourage one another. They run together. They're not competing. They just want to finish. And that's what it's like in the Christian life. We're not competing. We're not trying to be first. We're running together, side by side. Remember, even when the path feels hidden, God's promises are not. Even when your strength runs out, His strength is made perfect in your weakness. You're not running alone. The Spirit of God runs with you, breathes life into you, and carries you when you cannot carry yourself. So lift your eyes, fix your gaze, not on the struggle, not on the storm, but on Jesus. He is the author who started all this. He started the good work in you, and He's the finisher who will bring it to completion. He's both your strength in the middle of the race and your prize at the end of it. One day that fog will lift. One day faith will give way to sight. One day you will cross that finish line and you will hear the wonderful words that we all long for. Well done, good and faithful servant. Until then, keep running, keep trusting, keep your eyes on Jesus. He will never fail. Don't quit. Don't give up. The race isn't over. And the one who called you, He is faithful. Keep your eyes on Him. He's the strength and your prize. But maybe this morning you're here and you've not begun the race of faith. You may have been going to church for many years, or maybe this is your first time in church. Whichever it is, I've got some really good news for you, because you don't have to run the race of life in your own strength. Jesus has already gone before you. He's carried the weight of your sin to the cross. He rose from the grave and He offers you His strength today. He wants to run with you right now. He's calling you to fix your eyes on Him today. Is today the day you need to lay down your burdens? Maybe today is the day you stop trying to run alone and instead let Jesus run with you, carry you at times. Is today the day you say, Lord, I need you. I need you. I can't do this. Be my strength. Be my saviour. Be my prize. Perhaps you're running with Jesus, but you feel weary, broken. You feel you're at the point of quitting. The Bible says, draw near to God and He will draw near to you. Talk to Jesus about it. He's listening. He's closer than you think, and His arms are open wide. Let us pray. So right now, as we bow our heads and as we close our eyes, I want to invite you, if you need Jesus this morning, whether that's for the very first time or in a fresh way because you've been running on empty, would you just raise your hand so that I can pray for you? Thank you. Father, I thank you for every heart in this room this morning, young and old. Thank you, Lord, for those who've raised their hands. And thank you for those who wanted to but still have questions, who are still wrestling, maybe searching for you, or feeling that they can do this themselves. Lord, you see every runner. You see every weary runner. You see, Lord, every wounded heart here this morning, every heavy heart. Right now, Lord, I ask that you will breathe fresh strength into all of us, but particularly those that raised their hands just now, Lord. I pray that you will breathe fresh strength of your Spirit into them. Lord, may they feel you filling them up now, giving them strength to continue when the going is tough. Lord, remind each one of us that we're not running alone. You're with us. You are for us, and you will never leave us. Lift every burden, calm every fear, Lord, and renew every hope. Lord, I want to declare over this church that we will finish our race strong. All of us, Lord, finish our race strong. We will not give up, because the same Spirit that raised your Son from the dead lives in us. Help us to keep our eyes on you, Jesus, our strength in the struggle and our prize at the end. And when we leave this place today, let us walk out with courage, with joy and with confidence that you are faithful to complete the good work that you've started. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen.